Thank you. I'm a master's student at Penn State, and I have been looking at the soil hydrology properties of a wastewater spray irrigation facility operated by Penn State. They've been conducting fairly intensive irrigations for about 50 years. Typical irrigation contributes 54 millimeters of effluent over 12 hours. It just about doubles the amount of water over any given year that's added to the soil. So I wanted to know how frequently we can detect preferential flow at the living filter, and I wanted to know how irrigation might be influencing that preferential flow detection. Preferential flow is the process of water moving through soils via particular pathways rather than homogeneously. So I used 3 years' worth of precipitation and soil moisture data from different depths in the soil. I had four sites, two irrigated sites, and two non-irrigated control sites. This is an example of a single event that I looked at. You can see natural precipitation in the black bars at the top of the plot. And each of the colored lines indicates soil moisture content at a given depth. So you'll notice that the 90-centimeter probes responded significantly half an hour to an hour before the shallower 15 and 30-centimeter probes. So we look at this out-of-sequence response, and we conclude that preferential flow must have occurred during that event at that site. So this was one event that I analyzed. There were 632 others across the four sites. And I generated these results. I found that at non-irrigated sites, events resulted in preferential flow about 25% of the time. And at irrigated sites, it was more like 50% of the time. So there's irrigation is doing something. In order to try to understand what, we can look at the irrigated sites in particular. And we found that irrigation events themselves were much more likely, about twice as likely, to trigger preferential flow as natural events. That's not surprising given the amount of water being applied. However, if we look just at natural events at the non-irrigated and irrigated sites, so no irrigation considered, we still find that the irrigated sites produce more preferential flow, or at least we detect more preferential flow. So this suggests that there's something perhaps happening to the soils structurally that where the large inputs of water from the effluent is changing the structure, preferential flow pathways, which can then be used by natural precipitation. This is a perfect example of water flow influencing soil structure, and then soil structure influencing water flow in return. That's all. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Yes.
What was your soil type?
It was a Hagerstown silt loam. A residual soil derived from limestone. A very thick soil.
Yeah?
Do you have a groundwater level monitoring together with different conditions to specify the change of the water mass water line at 90 centimeters are caused by, you know, either from the precipitation or from the groundwater percolation?
I do not have a groundwater measure there, unfortunately. The soils are very deep there. Groundwater is 30 to 60 meters below the soil surface. So if it is water table, it would be a perched water table.
Thank you. Question one? No?
Did you also try to quantify preferential flow? Or is it something qualitative assessment?
These plots indicate the percentage of events that preferential flow is detected, at least based on that criteria. Come see my poster.
Thank you.